The passage that we are about to look at, Daniel chapter 3.
And reading from verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most high men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth, and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. How do you respond to the blessings of the Lord? Do you give him the praise and seek to honor and glorify him? Or do you seek to glorify yourself as a result of the blessings of the Lord? How do you respond to revelations given by God? Do you take note of them and be guided by them? Or do you choose to take those which, not being personal, but your selfish nature tells you, oh, that seems good for me, and then ignore what you think doesn't quite suit you? In part one of Daniel, we saw Nebuchadnezzar's response to God's blessings. Thou, O king, art king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And that was in Daniel 2, in verse 37. God's revelation. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And that was in Daniel 2 and verse 44. What was Nebuchadnezzar's response to God's blessing? We saw that he made a very large statue of gold. He then commanded all the people, nations, who were part of the Babylonian kingdom to gather in order that they could worship the golden statue, and by implication, worship Nebuchadnezzar as a god. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response to God's blessing was the opposite to that of Nebuchadnezzar. They chose to honor the God of heaven. Having put their faith in him, they publicly expressed their faith. Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. Which brings us to our second part of chapter 3. I trust and I hope that in my preparation that Psalm 46 would have set the scene to prepare our hearts for the second part of Daniel 3, where the three faithful friends, serpents, discovered that God is not only a refuge from trouble, but he's a companion in the midst of fire. As we go forth into the world where there are crisis and chaos, may we, as the three friends, have the same assurance that God is with us, whatever the fire we might have to go through. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our stronghold. As you know, I normally give my, not only me, most people do, but I give the title to today's message, Nebuchadnezzar's Fury and a Fiery Furnace that Has Been Overheated. Nebuchadnezzar's pride would not allow him to accept the refusal of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to worship the golden statue. We read that he became so angry at their stance that his features changed. His face was screwed up in fury and anger. He ordered that the fiery furnace should be heated 7 times more than it normally was. Apparently, the Babylonian furnaces consisted of an opening at the top, and then where they would throw in whatever needs to be burned, and then at the side, if you like, ground level, there is another large hole where they could take out whatever they need to take out. And in order to get to the top, you have to climb up an inclined plane. So just give you an image of what we're going to read about now. He ordered that the three friends be thrown into this furnace, which has been overheating. We're told that the mightiest men of the king's army were commanded to bind the three lads and throw them into the fiery furnace. You could say that the mightiest men in his army ensured 2 things. One, that the three lads couldn't escape, and if people outside wanted to rescue them, then they'd have to fight these big army guys. So he made sure that these three friends will be thrown into the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fully clothed. One could say they were entombed in their personal clothing. They were bound and then cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were bound, they were entombed, and they were thrown into this fiery furnace, which has been overheated. There was no chance of escape. Death was the only outcome. We read that in their haste and desire to ensure that the commandment of the king was carried out, as the soldiers who were ordered to throw the lads into the furnace, the heat that radiated from the furnace as they threw the lads into the furnace, the heat that came out killed these great big soldiers. But we read that the three friends were just thrown into the furnace and they were just lying in the bottom of the furnace. You would think that instantly they will be burned. These big soldiers just standing outside were killed by the radiated heat, but the friends were in the midst of the fire. What a gracious and merciful God we serve. They, men who threw the friends into the furnace, were killed. But the three friends, fully clothed, in clothing that quickly should be lit, were left lying, completely bound in the furnace. With the three friends thrown into the furnace, and it doesn't say so in the Bible, but thinking of the attitude of Nebuchadnezzar, I would imagine that he would have positioned himself at the ground level entrance just to look and to see these three young men being suffering in the heat of the fire. So if you imagine him positioned himself at the entrance, looking at these three lads lying in the bottom of the furnace, waiting to see, if you like, their clothes lit up and burnt to death. But that's not what he saw. What did he see? As the saying goes, Nebuchadnezzar could not believe his eyes. He could not understand what he was seeing in the furnace. He witnessed four men in the furnace whose radiated heat had destroyed his mightiest of men, but which had no power over these three lads lying in the furnace. But there was only three men thrown in. But what does he see? Did we not throw three men bound into the furnace? He asked his associates. They answered and said, "True, O king." He replied, "I see four men bound." But no, they weren't bound. They were actually loose. There were three men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they were not hurt. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." It's quite possible the three young friends may have known that passage from Isaiah. And if they knew that, we trust that they would have been comforted that the God that we read of in Psalm 46 was there beside them in the fire. We read, "The form of the fourth is like the Son of God." An interesting observation by Nebuchadnezzar. There is a saying, "Seeing is believing." The Son of God has made himself known to many, yet they have not believed in him. They have chosen not to trust him, and so they have failed to have faith in his sacrifice on their behalf. It is believed by many that this was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in a pre-incarnate appearance, sent to deliver God's three faithful servants. And it was also the answer to Nebuchadnezzar's question, "Which God shall deliver you?" The Son of God delivered them. Nebuchadnezzar did not quite believe his eyes. Realizing his plan had failed, he approached the entrance of the fiery furnace. It is worth noting and remembering that because of the grace and mercy of God, those who have not put their trust in him can, according to his will, enjoy the blessings showered upon those who have put their trust in him. What do I mean by that? The men who had put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace were slain by the heat radiated from the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar approached the furnace in order that he might speak to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he was not killed. It was not the Lord's design that he should be killed at that time. Nebuchadnezzar approached the furnace and he called to the lads. Earlier, he had called his three friends to come forth when he was furious with them for failing to fall down and worship the golden statue and not worshiping the gods. But now he approached them with a different attitude. His fury and pride would seem to have disappeared. He now addressed them as the servants of the Most High God. In doing so, he was acknowledging, recognizing the omnipotence of the Lord God Almighty. He had witnessed the power of God, and there was a change of attitude. Having been invited to come forth, the three friends did so. I'd mentioned earlier in one of my other messages that when we declare ourselves as servants of the living God, we become objects of curiosity. The princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors gathered to consider Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Not a hair of their head was singed, neither were their coats, their clothing changed. Nebuchadnezzar gave praise to the God of heaven. He had praised God when Daniel had revealed to him his dream. He now gave praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for having delivered his servants from the fiery furnace. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Servants who yielded their bodies so that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. The God who changed the king's word. There was a change of heart, change in attitude of Nebuchadnezzar. But how great a change had taken place. The God of heaven had impressed Nebuchadnezzar. The God, because who is sovereign, had overruled the punishment authorized by a Gentile human king. But Nebuchadnezzar still did not acknowledge him as the only God. The large group of officials gathered out of curiosity. What did they see? They saw a sovereign God carrying out miraculous acts. They saw bodies that should have been blistered, but was whole. Hair that should have been singed, but was not. Clothing that should have been scorched, but was still unburned. There was no smell of smoke on the fringes. God had demonstrated that there was a God who could deliver the sons of Israel out of the king's hand. Nebuchadnezzar praised God for delivering Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he also praised the friends for their faith and devotion to God. There's a challenge for us as we live out our life. Is our faith and our devotion to God visible to those around us? Nebuchadnezzar then made a decree which described the terrible punishment that anyone who dared to speak against the God of Israel would endure. Every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Was Nebuchadnezzar seeking to earn favor with God by doing good works? In Isaiah 64 and verse 6 we read, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." It is worth noting that this same gathering that he was speaking to now, he had commanded them earlier to worship his golden statue. The reason for the change: there is no other God that can deliver after this sort, and is therefore worthy of worship and adoration. Nebuchadnezzar admitted that this God was more powerful than any other, but he still did not declare him as the only God to be worshipped. We read that Daniel's friends received further promotion from the king. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30 we read, "Them that honor me, I will honor." May we remember that as we live out our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what lessons can we learn from the? In chapter 2 we learned about the faithfulness of Daniel, and now in chapter 3 we have the faithfulness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In both chapters we see a demonstration of the superiority of God. Sadly, we also see that though God makes himself known to mankind, many fail to see or choose not to see and do not acknowledge him as the God of heaven and earth, our creator. Although human government are ordained by God, and we read that in Romans 13, verses 1 to 7, government authorities can abuse their God-given power by commanding things contrary to God. A challenge. When human government commands something contrary to what God commands, what is the saint's responsibility? The responsibility is to obey God rather than man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that when they refused to worship the golden statue. In Acts 5 and verse 27 to 29, we read, "We must obey God rather than man." Not my words, but the word of God. When the saints of God disobey human government to obey God, it is possible that they will have to face the consequences of disobeying the government. Daniel's friends did this, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. In this instance, God chose to deliver them because deliverance suited his purpose. God does not choose to deliver his servants in all circumstances. It is not easy, but his servants must recognize that he is sovereign, and they exist not for their benefit, but for the benefit of our Heavenly Father. We are his servants. We have been purchased, and the price, as we saw earlier in communion, was the precious blood of the Son of God. As we go forth into the world, may each of us seek to live a Christian life in a sinful world. It is not easy, but there is a great reward that awaits us when we are called to be with our Savior and Father. Well done, my true and faithful servants. Amen.